Tan, give people another couple of minutes. I know I don't like doing that,
Just so hard.
remember when Jack Poole and I were doing classes together, the original class time was 10 o'clock, then it was 10:05, then it was 10:10. So we people just kind of assume, oh, I can get there a couple of minutes later, it'll be okay. Yeah. You got it? Okay.
Jerry. Hello, Jerry. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can, John.
I thought I would share this. I have a deck of cards that come from A Course in Love. And so every day I pick a new card. And based on our conversation a few weeks ago, I thought this card was kind of appropriate. The universe is a dance of cooperation. You are but asked to rejoin the dance.
Thank you. And for all of you who are online at the moment, let me share something with you that I know we've shared before. It comes from the actually the back cover of this book, The Book of Mastery. And I think it's very appropriate to read over, study, look at, sink in. Sit where you are for a moment and do this with us. Imagine that everything that ever happened to you, good, bad, whatever you would claim it as, was brought to you for a reason, whether or not you know it. And the idealization of things in your life, achievements perhaps, or those things you believed harmed you, will be put in proper perspective as long as you understand that there is nothing that could have happened to you to make you unworthy of the journey that you are now on. Or as Paul said in his epistle to the Romans, nothing, absolutely nothing, can separate you from the love of God. Nothing. Not even how you feel, not even how you think, no matter what you think you've done, no matter what you know you've done. So thanks, John, for passing that reminder on. It's all part of the dance. You know what? Sometimes I trip over my own feet. And that's part of the dance too, isn't it? We've been running into a little bit of a problem with the Zoom recordings the last couple of weeks, and I'm not going to apologize for that. It was just something that came up. I think we've got it straightened out. So when you get your regular email by this week, you should be able to get the video link as well as the reflection and the meditation as we usually do. And if that doesn't work, we'll work some more and make it work. So I'd like to begin on page 265. Which kind of fits in with what John said and what I read to you a moment ago. The guides are speaking. We are taking you on a journey for a reason. And the mountainside before us has great opportunity to show you what you are in your vibration, in your vibration, in your vibration. When you leave the house today, or when you watch the television, Or when you come into class and you see something that you would judge as a terrible thing or a terrible person, we wish you to do this exercise. As I witness this thing, I align to truth, to the Creator who will see through me, and I move beyond what I have been taught to feel, to the true vision of the self who knows who she is. I see the truth, and I lift what is before me to the manifestation of the divine. I know who I am, I know what I am, I know how I serve. Brief rendition of that, I think. This is my opinion. When I witness the thing as being the truth, I witness it through the eyes of unconditional love. It's that simple and that profound. I see it, see myself or the situation or the person through the eyes of unconditional love. Because there is nothing else. That's why they say so many things are an illusion. It's not because they don't exist, it's because they're not the truth. The judgment that I make on you is not the truth. I might think it is. I might even want it to be, but it's not. My judgment of you is a very limited view of who you are and coming from a very limited view of who I am. When I see you as truth, when I see myself as truth, I see myself, I see you, I see the world through the eyes of unconditional love. It's very tempting for me in the world that I see and perceive through my five senses and through my intellect and through my past and through my projections on the future. It's very easy for me to get involved in the anger and the fear and the violence and the ain't it awful and believe that's the truth. Whereas what is happening, by we're able to realize this fully, is I am creating a world of limitation through my own sense of personal limitation. If I could lighten up on myself, be non-judgmental towards Jerry, or see Jerry through the eyes of unconditional love, I could see you through the eyes of unconditional love, I could see everyone and everything through the eyes of unconditional. It would be no difference. So we might say, or I might say here, I'm still working on that one. But see, even that's only true, only partially true. My divine consciousness, my divine self already knows what's true. No work involved. All you got to do, or all I got to do, is stop pretending that what I see through my five senses and what I see through my intellect, I stop pretending that's the real world. It's not. It's a world that has been created by fear. And I can buy into that if I choose, but I don't have to. You will feel a shift once you make the choice not to participate in the lower vibration. Now, you might not feel that emotionally. You might not even feel it as a physical sensation. But you will become aware I promise you this. You will become aware that when you are in higher consciousness, you will experience yourself as much as not as much lighter than you might when you're in lower consciousness. For instance, if I were to tell you to think about someone or something in your life that you're really angry about, get a sense of that. You can also get a sense of its heaviness. It's kind of locking you in, just to me. And then if I were to suggest to think of someone or remember someone in your life that you love dearly who loves you back, and notice the lightness that occurs with that. Lightness in both sense of light and lightness in sense of airiness. We're even told, we were told this way back when in the, probably in the 70s, when we were doing a lot of self-help stuff. If you could just stop for a moment and take a deep breath, just take a deep breath. And maybe even if you want to stretch yourself a little bit more, take three deep breaths and notice the difference. It'd be like trying to sing a song with your lungs half full rather than all the way full. You could do it. It's not going to work the way you want it to, okay? It's not going to feel the way you want it to, but it's possible. But isn't it so much easier to take a deep breath and let it flow through? Where the song itself that you might be singing is rather effortless. Light, airy. This might be a little bit of a silly image, but I'll share it with you anyway. I was watching a TV special with James Taylor. And he was singing a song that he must have sung about a billion times. In my mind, I'm going to Carolina. And I was looking at his face, and he was in ecstasy. He just loved that song so, so deeply. And it touched him so, so deeply. And he allowed that energy to flow to him and through him and out from him. And it was just a beautiful, beautiful. His eyes were kind of halfway closed. He had his little guitar out singing, "In My Mind, I'm Going to Carolina." He didn't have to force anything to happen. And I remember him saying this in an interview. He said, "I sing my song, every time I sing one of my songs, I sing it like I've been singing it for the first time. Never boring." Wow. Can you imagine if we did that all day long? I'm driving my car, as it was the first time I've ever driven. I'm doing the dishes as if it was the first time I ever did the dishes. I'm looking at myself in the mirror lovingly as if that was the first time. You will feel the shift once you make the choice not to participate in the lower vibration. I don't choose to go there. I could. I might even want to, part of me wants to, but I can choose. I don't want to, I don't choose to go there. If you could all understand that when you agree to a low vibratory thing, you are in consort with it. You're helping to create it. You will understand that every time you see the news and you are taught to feel terrible, you are in consort with the very thing you wish to see differently. It doesn't say you have to stop watching the news. It's not about, this is not the ostrich mentality, putting your head in the sand. It's realizing that I don't have to buy that as being the truth. When you see the truth in something, you are actually instigating change. You are helping to transform the thing to the truth of the divine. I see you as you truly are. And when I see you as you truly are, that energy allows you to become more in tune with your own sense of your divine consciousness. Why would I not want to do that with anybody? I'm not talking about seeing their personality. I'm not talking about seeing their ego consciousness. It's the whole of the ball game. I'm seeing you for the truth of who you are. Why would I want to see you as anything else? Now, if you understand that the divine self knows no fear and cannot perpetuate fear, you'll understand that this teaching will never cause fear. If you encounter it on your path, it's an opportunity to overcome. In other words, all of those things that pull us into conditional love, limit love, limited love. The Christ as you see, the Christ as you see is the well-being, sees the action of the Creator lifting all things. When there is a battle, you may enter the fray if you choose by pulling out your sword, or you may lift the battlefield to the level of vibration where there are no swords. The quote from the Old Testament that I always loved about beating your swords into plowshares. In other words, instead of using a sword as a piece of destruction, you turn it into something to till a field, to grow some food for yourself and your neighbor. It's very important for you to understand that this is an active thing and it does change. It works. In fact, it's working right now. If it were not working and the stuff we see on the news was the only truth, this world would be, we would have pushed the button a long time ago. We didn't. Because as Margaret likes to remind me, the light has never gone out. Even when I'm huffing and puffing to blow it out myself sometimes. We use your hands well in service. The story that came out from World War II. In the middle of a little town in Italy, it was a statue of Jesus that had been pretty much blown to bits within the town square, but pretty much got blown to bits. And the soldiers decided it was during a truce. Soldiers decided they were going to put it back together again, almost like a jigsaw puzzle. And they had it practically all back together again, except for the hands. The hands were broken off because the way the statue fell crushed the material that the hands were made out of. One very wise man took a piece of cardboard, wrote on it in big black letters, put it next to the statue, and said, "You are my hands. You are my hands." Wow, that really moved me this morning. I hadn't thought about that story in a long, long time. You are my hands. We use your hands well in service. Each man who serves will be given the tools with which to serve through. But in the decision to see the truth in what is before you, which is the divine in action, making any corrections that may be required, because the action of the Creator is only in love, you do far more. You not only change yourself, you change the world. You are my hands. Now, as we complete this teaching for the day, we will offer you this. When you are confused by the teaching, or angry at the teaching, or annoyed at the teaching, or don't want to believe the teaching, but know you need to, there's a very simple remedy. I am aligning to the truth of this teaching. I am word through this intention. Word, I am word. How do you align yourself with something? You put yourself in the place and the consciousness where you can be receptive of that energy. It's the difference between someone saying to you, I love you, and you sort of saying, oh, well, thank you. Or you choose to shut your mouth and just open yourself up to the love that is being offered to you. You receive, you align yourself to the love that is coming your way, and you allow yourself to be receptive of that. It's not a thought, it's not an idea, it's an action, excuse me, an action of openness. I am aligning to the truth of this teaching. I am word through this intention. Word, I am word. We teach through Paul, you see, and his resistance at times actually shows you perhaps your own. Paul's kind of volunteered and saying, I'm going to ask all the stupid questions that you're afraid to ask. But we are teaching well and for the good of all, and we offer you this. You need not to be afraid of the journey before you. When it rains and you feel the rain upon your skin, don't run and hide from it. Let it wash you clean. When you feel the sun beating on your cheeks, be grateful for the warmth that you have been given. And when you meet the man on the road, whether he is standing or crawling in the mud, witness the Christ in him. I see you with the eyes of the Christ, and ask the divine self that you are, how to best attend to the need of the circumstance, and you will be shown. How can I serve you? How can I bless you? How can I hold you in truth? It might be putting $5 in your cup. It might be saying a prayer for you. If you're daring enough, it might mean getting out of your car and giving that person a hug. So let me just read this again. You might just want to close your eyes and take this in. This is more of a meditation than a reading. When it rains, you need not be afraid of the journey before you. When it rains and you feel the rain upon your skin, don't run and hide from it. Let it wash you clean. When you feel the sun beating on your cheeks, be grateful for the warmth that you have been given. And when you meet the man on the road, whether he is standing or crawling in the mud, witness the Christ in him. I see you with the eyes of the Christ. And ask the divine self that you are, how best to attend to the need of the circumstance, and you will be shown. We will speak to you tomorrow. Thank you. Good night. Stop now, please. So, is there anything anybody would like to add to that, or question, or examine before we move to a little bit into the next section? And we'll do a little bit of that, and then we'll do a meditation for real.
Jerry,
Yes, John.
so I am reminded the first part that we read in particular, and then moving into this last part, I'm reminded of Ho'oponopono and how it realigns us or helps us to realign. And I'm remembering that Joe Vitale, in one of his books about Ho'oponopono, talked about his mentor. I can't remember what the doctor's name was,
Hugh
but
Lynn, Dr. Lynn.
Thank you. Thank you. So he talked about Hugh Len and how the Dr. Hugh Len had, during a break in one of the workshops, had gone up to his room. And Joe went to go find him later to bring him back down to the conference. And he was thinking, you know, in this last hour or so, I'll bet that Dr. Hugh Len meditated and said prayers and did all these wonderful things, and I'm going to learn from him. So when Dr. Hugh Len came out of his room, Joe said, "Well, what were you doing in there?" And Dr. Hugh Len said, "I was watching the news." And Joe was just, "You've got to be kidding me. Why would you do that? It's so awful." And Dr. Hugh Len said, "Ah, but I wanted to know where I am so that I could clean that, so that I could out realign." Words to that effect. All that the news does is it allows you to see where you are right now, but you can realign. We can realign ourselves to the truth. Thanks.
Thank you, John. That might be a really good question to ask ourselves sometimes once in a while. What do I need to clean up? On my side of the street, of course. What do I need to clean up in my thinking? When do I need to clean up in the thoughts that I'm holding on to? What do I need to clean up in terms of my relationship with myself? Because that's where it all starts, and that's where it all projects onto as well. When we say we are worthy of this teaching, we can translate that into physical terms and say, I'm worth it. But what it really means, to me anyway, sometimes, is being open to the possibility that not only is this teaching true, but the possibility that in some way, somehow or another, that I am getting it. Not that I will get it. I'm not saying I got it completely, but that I am getting it. I am open to it. I am open to the possibility. I am healing. I am growing. I am stretching. I am becoming. The ego would like to know when the trip is going to, when are we going to be done? When are we going to be on the top of the mountain? Of course, the truth is that once we get to the top of this one, there's going to be another one. And that's okay, that's just the way it works. It'd be like saying, when do I stop learning? When do I stop growing? How much is enough unconditional love? To our small self-consciousness, it wants to see, wants to get a measurable device. Tell me that I'm, when are we there yet? And for my higher consciousness, here's where I perceive myself to be, and I am open to being more than that. Here is where I perceive myself to be, and I am open to more than that. As I learn who I am required to know all things as they truly are, the eyes of unconditional love. As I know myself and my worth, I hold the ideal for others to claim their own. As I see with the eyes of the Christ, I anoint others to the witnessing that is their birthright. All will come to the altar in their own way. All will come to the altar in their own way. Jesus said before the crucifixion, if the Son of Man be raised up, I will draw all things to myself. I will see and I will hold everyone and everything in the light of unconditional love. All will come to the altar in their own way. As I stand before them, I sing my song in love. As I stand before them, I sing the praise of all that is. And as I stand before them, I align to each one for the benefits of all. Now we say these words to you intentionally. The requirement for change at this level of incarnation is to bless all those that you see. Hear these words. What you bless, you lift. What you damn, what you curse, you cast out, including yourself. There's a line from a song go, you can't hold your brother in the dark and expect to see the light. Everyone I put in the dark puts me in the dark as well. Now, when you cast something out, you align it to the darkness. And there has been a teaching that things should be cast out to the darkness for the good of all. But what is cast to the darkness grows in force. And the intention of the darkness, as you understand it, is to cast a shadow to preclude the light to stand in its own defiance. Psychologically, it's what we call the shadow. The shadow side of things, which Carl Jung expanded upon. The shadow is a, let's say it's an energetic field. You want to put it in a physical sense, it's like a garbage bag. And in this garbage bag, in this energetic field, you throw everything that you think is unacceptable about you. Stuff you don't want to look at, stuff you don't want to see. So, you know, let's say my anger goes in there. I don't want to admit that I'm angry. My fear goes in there. I don't want to be afraid, whatever it might happen to be. So by the time we reach adulthood, the way Robert Bly put it is, we got this huge garbage bag of stuff that we essentially have kept hidden from ourselves. But if it just stayed in the bag and didn't do anything, that would be fine. But everything we stuff in the bag has a life of its own. And it churns around and churns around and churns around. And eventually bites me on the behind. In other words, it's going to come to the surface one way or another. Many of us have dealt with that in recovery. Many of us have dealt with that when we did inner child work, family work. That we knew there was a dark side or a shadow side to what I was experiencing. And we needed to expose it to the light, bring it to the light, and allow it to heal. Allow ourselves to heal. When you lift something to the light, you give it the opportunity to heal. When you cast something into the darkness, you actually give it power. So the intention to damn anything you see, to put it outside of God, is actually to empower it. Blessing all that you see, even when it disguises itself in great fear, will support you in aligning to the light that would dispel the darkness. There's a wonderful metaphysical prayer that I learned years and years ago. I had forgotten it for a couple of years until it came back into my awareness again for some reason. Well, the reason was I needed it. I am whole. I am filled with light. I am perfect. I am filled with light. I am surrounded by the pure white light of Christ. Nothing but good shall come to me. Nothing but good shall go from me. I give thanks. I give thanks. I give thanks. What would it be like if we believed that? If we honored that as being our truth? I am whole. I am filled with light. I am perfect. I am filled with light. I am surrounded by the pure white light of Christ. Nothing but good shall come to me. Nothing but good shall flow from me. I give thanks. I give thanks. I give thanks. I would invite you to put your stuff down. Need to leave a little bit early today because I'm doing duty in the sanctuary. So if you could all get comfortable in your spot. Allow yourself to breathe deeply. And imagine that you are standing close to a window that the light is coming through. You are not yet in the light, you are just observing it. This wonderful, warm, golden light coming from this window. And you are standing somewhat apart from that. And even though you're not in it, you can sense its warmth. You can sense the healing properties of the light. And you know you have a choice of standing where you are, simply observing the light and the warmth and the healing, or actually standing in the light itself. And if you choose, you can stand, move over. Stand in the light. Experience its warmth, the light, the healing, the love, the energy. So much so that you can breathe it into your being, letting it touch every cell and fiber of who you are. Physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. And imagine what it would be like to take that with you this morning. To not only know that you are a light to yourself, but you bring that awareness to everyone and everything you touch. As you come back to the sensations of being part of a physical body, you take with you that sense of lightness, of healing, peace, and growth. And you stretch a bit, and you open your eyes when you're ready. Thank you all for being here. You have a blessed week. Take care. Bye.
Thanks, Jerry.
Thank you, guys.